stress, fear, depression, spiritual warfare. Are you weighted down? Do you need refreshing? Welcome. Welcome, everyone, to the Warriors for Christ podcast, where we seek to uplift, edify, and encourage you to be light and salt in a dark and tasteless world with your host, Kyle.
Hello, hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Warriors for Christ podcast. I'm Kyle.
And I'm Sam.
And we are so glad that you're with us today. Brother Sam, what has the Lord put on your heart for us to cover today?
Well, Kyle, today we're going to talk about, do we want to be like the disciples? Now, in some respects, yes, and many others, no. You see, what a lot of people don't understand and what they always try to compare themselves to is the disciples before they received power and before they had the Holy Spirit, before they were born again. Well, the problem is the one who has not been born again does not get to enter the kingdom of heaven, but those that were born again. Now, the disciples were eventually born again, but when they were with Christ, they were not. And so we're going to go through the passages and talk about what was their faith. How much understanding did they have? Did they believe? Did they have eyes to see and ears to hear? What person do we want to be? Unfortunately, many people I talk to, they continue to go back and they limit themselves to the power of God and exclude themselves from the promises of God because they continue to want to be the old man of the disciples before they receive the promise of the Spirit. They want to be the old man and not the new man. So I pray this is going to touch a lot of people today. And really, by the Spirit of God, it really just shakes and tears down these lies and deceptions that people are held hostage to and don't even know.
Amen. Well, let's begin with prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your peace, your power, your strength, your word, your truth. And we thank you so much for your Spirit that indwells us. We thank you that it guides us in all things and teaches us. Father, we pray for those that are listening right now. We pray that you bind and keep captive those evil spirits that might be blocking their ears from hearing the truth. We pray, O Lord God, that you open their heart, open their mind, open their eyes to the truth. Father, use us in this day, and may it be wonderful in your ears and bring glory to your kingdom. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. So we're going to start off. We're going to look at different passages in the book of Mark and the different events that happen. And really, when Jesus speaks to them, what does he say about them? What does Jesus say about these people? So we're going to start off first in Mark chapter 4. And we're going to go off. This is, after they did some teaching, they weren't out. They were on a boat crossing over, and a fierce winds and waves broke, got stirred up. And we're going to read this account. So, Kyle, if you can read in chapter 4, verse 38 to 41.
But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion, and they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" He woke up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." Then the wind ceased, and there was a dead calm. He said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great awe and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?"
So you see here, they didn't understand. They did not understand. Now, part of it is, up to this point, Jesus had done many healings. He had done miracles. He's cast out demons. They had already seen all these works of God. They still just didn't have understanding. They didn't know. They still had fear.
They had fear. They had no faith.
And Jesus says, "Do you still have no faith? Do you still have no faith?" So you who want to continue to be like this as disciples, you want to have no faith? You want to be that person? Why? Why would you want to be that person?
They didn't even know who he is. Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?
Now, backing up in chapter 4, verse 11, it talks about why he spoke in parables. Now, he said to them, the mystery had been given, the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to those who are outside, they get everything in parables. Now, Jesus taught them everything. He explained the parables, but even explaining, many of them still didn't understand. And we're going to see that later. Their eyes and their ears were opened after they received the Spirit of God. Now, that doesn't mean that God couldn't reveal certain things. There was a time when he spoke to Peter, and Peter says, oh, well, you're the Christ, the Son of God, you know, halfway through when you read the Gospels. And Jesus acknowledges, well, it was because my Father revealed that to you. And the Father reveals things through the Spirit. But just because he reveals one thing doesn't mean all things revealed. And as you read and hear in verse 12 of Mark chapter 4, it says, so while seeing they may not perceive, while hearing they may not understand, otherwise they might return and be forgiven. And so it was spoken against Israel when they rejected God and they had a stubborn, rebellious heart. He's like, okay, you can have eyes that don't see and ears that cannot hear. And so he continued to speak to them in parables even when Christ came, because they were still being stubborn and rebellious of heart. Now, even the disciples, they wanted to be with Christ, but until the Spirit of God, until you get a new heart and you're born again of the Spirit, you can't be completely free with a perfect faith, the power of God to work and to live. Now, we're going to cover other places. Going to say, well, how do they cast out demons? How do they do healings? Because there's an authority, and God can grant authority, but that does not mean that you have the Spirit and been born again. That's why there's people who do certain things in the name of Jesus, but still are cast out, and he rejects them, as discussed in Matthew chapter 7, because they still commit iniquity. God will do his work. Even through wicked people, he'll accomplish, and even those who aren't truly sons of God. And there is authority in the name of Jesus. That doesn't mean they've been born again by the Spirit of God. There's a certain thing that happens. Romans chapter 6 tells us what it means to be baptized into Christ and be born again. John chapter 3, if you're willing to continue to read beyond John chapter 3:16, read the whole chapter and understand the whole book, and you'll understand what it means to be born again and no longer in darkness, but now in light, what it means to abide in Christ and in the Father, being one, to be able to do the will. These are things. We got to just read God's word and let him instruct us.
I hope that at some point we actually do an episode on abiding and the will and being the oneness.
We will. I think we might have covered some of that in the episode of John 3:16.
Yeah.
I can't remember the full extent. When we go through and do the whole book of John, we'll dig deep into that, because that ties in also to 1 John. Right. So, yep. All right, the next passage I'm going to go to is Mark chapter 6. Now, up to this point, Jesus goes and he feeds the 5,000. So he already fed the 5,000. That was towards, I think, the chapter 6, like verse 30 to 44. He feeds the 5,000 who ate the loaves. After that, Jesus, there's another storm, and we're going to talk about that when Jesus comes to them walking on water. So in Mark chapter 6, after the storm, Jesus comes to them walking on water, and he's already, again, fed the 5,000. And what does he say to them in what does it say in verse 49 to 52 of Mark chapter 6?
But when they saw him walking on the sea, they thought it was a ghost and cried out, for they all saw him and were terrified. But immediately he spoke to them and said, take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid. Then he got into the boat with them, and the wind ceased. And they were utterly astounded, for they did not understand about the loaves, but their hearts were hardened.
You see, they still had a hardened heart. Now, if anybody knows and has heard of many of the episodes that we've done, or the episode that we did on God Requires a New Heart, you'll understand that when you still have a bad heart, or you still have no faith or lack of understanding, even though you're seeking God, you don't have the promise yet. Now, God's faithful. He'll complete the work that he starts as long as you continue to seek him with all your heart. He'll let you find him. Those promises are in the Old Testament. But until then, they had a hardened heart. You don't get into the kingdom of heaven with a hardened heart. Now, they didn't continue with a hardened heart. Eventually, they got a new heart. They were spiritually born again when they were spiritually baptized. But these are things people must understand. So I tell you, you don't want to be like the disciples before they had power. But in ignorance, they just don't know, because the people teaching them are not teaching them in truth. They aren't contrasting and showing the difference between the old man and the new man. As we continue to go down, we're now going to go and look at Mark chapter 7. So turn over to Mark chapter 7, verse 14, and we're going to read verse 14 to verse 18. Again, Jesus is going, continuing to speaking, he's going to give insight into the disciples and whether or not they had understanding.
Then he called the crowd again and said to them, listen to me, all of you, and understand, there is nothing outside a person that by going in can defile, but the things that come out are what defile. When he had left the crowd and entered the house, his disciples asked him about the parable. He said to them, "Then do you also fail to understand? Do you not see that whatever goes into a person from outside cannot defile? Since it enters not the heart, but the stomach, and goes out into the sewer?" Thus he declared all foods clean. That's what it says.
So the people didn't understand. As you keep reading in verse 21, he says, from within, out of the heart proceed evil thoughts. It's the thoughts, deeds of coveting, wickedness, theft, murder, adultery, slander, envy, pride, foolishness. He said in verse 23, all these things are within and defile the man. Now, the disciples didn't understand this. This is a fundamental principle. Until you get a new heart, you're still a bad heart. You're still the bad tree. Bad trees don't enter the kingdom of heaven. The disciples were still bad trees. They don't inherit the kingdom of heaven. They still do not understand. They don't understand the fundamental principle of what God wants. And you want to be that person? Please, please, do you see the ignorance of that statement? And yet people will argue with me over this. I said, can you please just read your Bible and see that there's no hope for that person? Continuing, Mark chapter 8. What does he say in verse 1 through 4?
In those days when there was again a great crowd without anything to eat, he called his disciples and said to them, "I have compassion for the crowd because they have been with me now for 3 days and have nothing to eat. If I send them away hungry to their homes, they will faint on the way, and some of them have come from a great distance." His disciples replied, "How can one feed these people with bread here in the desert?"
So here, we've already had the feeding of the 5,000. And now, it's like the same exact event happens again, and they still don't understand. They still do not understand. And you want to be this person? Now, I'm not speaking to those who have the new heart. I'm giving you the words of God and continue to reinforce so that you can refute those who in folly and falsehood are making these ridiculous claims. Instead of listening to the testimony of how God has changed your heart and freed you from sin, they want to ask and bring up and argue about disputes about words and ask controversial questions. So I'm simply pointing out the scripture that condemns them and exposes their lies and their folly with the hope that you can help lead them to truth because they're rejecting the testimony of your life and the power is demonstrated in your life because they want to continue to look and accurately and falsely handle the word of God. So later on, continuing in chapter 8, he goes through, they feed all the people. Now, after they fed the people and they're coming out, Jesus talks about how, in verse 14, they had forgotten to take bread, and they did not have more than one loaf with them in the boat. Now they just have already now fed the 5,000. Now they've fed the 4,000, and now they're arguing. They're talking about, hey, we only have one loaf of bread. Now Jesus gives them orders and says, "Watch out! Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod." And now they start talking about this fact in verse 16 that they have no bread. Now, there's two things. One, it shows their continued lack of understanding that God can do anything through faith. He can feed 5,000. He can feed 4,000. Now they're sitting there saying, "We only have one loaf of bread." Jesus said, "Watch out for the leaven of the Pharisees." And they're like, "Oh, yeah. We only have one loaf of bread." And they don't understand. What does Jesus say in verse 17 to verse 21?
And becoming aware of it, Jesus said to them, "Why are you talking about having no bread? Do you still not perceive or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Do you have eyes and fail to see? Do you have ears and fail to hear? And do you not remember? When I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000, how many baskets full of broken pieces did you collect?" They said to him, 12. "And the 7 for the 4,000, how many baskets full of broken pieces did you collect?" And they said to him, 7. Then he said to them, "Do you not yet understand?"
So he asked them, "Do you not understand? Do you have a hard heart? Do you have eyes that cannot see? Ears that cannot hear? This is the person you want to be?" Now, some of you are probably hearing this for the first time. And you're like, "Wow, I did not know this." Well, how could you live your life this long and not know this? Now, I know the answer to that. That's a rhetorical question. You see, I lived over 40 years of my life in stupidity and foolishness, believing the very same things that you believed, succumbing to the same lies and deception that you have. God wants you to free you from this. Don't turn to me. Turn to the words of God. I'm simply pointing out passages and truth in God's word that expose the lies of these people who are trying to hold you and hostage to continue to do the will of the devil. And you say, but I'm not doing the will of the devil. I'm seeking to do the will of God. No, you see, that's the point of the devil, to deceive you and to think that you're doing the will of God while you actually still serve him. And you don't even know it.
If you're in the bondage of sin, you are serving Satan.
Now, in chapter 8, as we continue, he now gets to the end, and this is where he said, I mentioned it earlier, he asked Peter. He says, well, who do you say I am? He first says, who do other people say that I am, and people don't know. So in verse 29, he says, who do you say I am? And Peter answered and said to him, you are the Christ. And Jesus told him, do not tell anyone about it. Keep reading verse 32 and 33.
He said all this quite openly, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things.
That's right. And that's all because in verse 31, Jesus began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things, be rejected by elders and the chief priests and scribes, be killed, and after 3 days, rise again. Now, Jesus doesn't understand, or Peter doesn't understand that. He doesn't understand that there has to be a resurrection. He doesn't understand about all the things of the kingdom of heaven. And so Peter rebukes Jesus. Jesus turns around and rebukes Peter. And what does he call him?
Satan.
Calls him Satan. You see, there's two masters. Jesus can be your master, or the devil can be your master. You can be under the Spirit of God, or you can be under the spirit of the world, which is the spirit of the devil, sons of disobedience. Sons of obedience, sons of disobedience. Peter was still a son of disobedience. He says, get behind me, Satan. You see, Peter still didn't understand the things of God. Now, even though he knew who Christ was, that's because that one fact was revealed. Having one fact revealed does not mean you know all truth. The devils and the demon know that Jesus is the Son of God. They're the only ones actually proclaiming it. When they say, we know who you are, Christ, the Son of God, and he rebuked them and said, kept them quiet, that they were not permitted to tell anybody. Now, the other people didn't know, but the demons knew. That doesn't mean they have truth. As you continue, just so I'm here, I want to highlight this. He tells them, if you want to follow after Christ, if you want to be his disciple, what must you do in verse 34?
If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it. And those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and of my words and this adulterous and sinful generation of them, the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels.
You have to deny your life. You have to pick up your cross and follow after him. If you aren't willing to lose your life for Christ's sake, then you won't find it. Those who desire to seek their life will lose it. It's a very simple concept. Now, as you continue on into chapter 9, Jesus gave them orders not to relate to anyone what they had seen until the Son of Man rose from the dead. Now, this is after the transfiguration on the mountain, when Jesus was up and as Elijah and Moses appeared, they were on the mountain. And you had Peter, James, and John were with him. Now, Jesus says they weren't allowed to tell anybody until the Son of Man rose again from the dead. Did they understand in verse 10?
So they kept the matter to themselves, questioning what this rising from the dead could mean. Then they asked him, why do the scribes say that Elijah must come first? He said to them, Elijah is indeed coming first to restore all things. How then is it written about the Son of Man that he is to go through many sufferings and be treated with contempt? But I tell you that Elijah has come, and they did to him whatever they pleased, as it is written about him.
See, they didn't understand what it meant to rise from the dead. They didn't understand that. We've already covered that several times before. They had no understanding. So, like, what does this mean? Again, I'm pointing out in here, in Scripture, they don't understand. Now, as we continue to look in Mark chapter 9, verse 31 to 34, again, we have Jesus continue to speak, and they still don't understand. He's telling them all this truth. What does he say in verse 31 to 33?
For he was teaching his disciples, saying to them, the Son of Man is to be betrayed into human hands, and they will kill him. And 3 days after being killed, he will rise again. But they did not understand what he was saying, and were afraid to ask him. Then they came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, what were you arguing about on the way? But they were silent, for on the way they had argued with one another. Who was the greatest?
And so here you look at this. They didn't understand. They didn't understand that to be greatest among you, you must be a servant. They didn't understand why Jesus came into the world not to be served, but to serve. They didn't understand. They didn't understand that Jesus had to die for the forgiveness of sins and be raised from the dead. They didn't understand. And not only did they not understand, they were afraid. Well, now they had been rebuked by Jesus several times. Now, later on, it talks about they were arguing about who was the greatest. And it says they kept silent and they wouldn't answer when Jesus asked them, what are you guys talking about? Not only do they understand the truth, but they're arguing about who's going to be the greatest. And now they're at the point where they're afraid because they've been rebuked by him so much. They don't even want to answer because they know that they're wrong. They just still don't have understanding. And you want to be that person? You want to be that person that continues to argue that you're greatest so you can exclude yourself from the kingdom of God? You want to be the person that has no understanding about the resurrection of the dead so you can have your faith and hope in a life of this world with no resurrection of the dead? You see, many of them thought the kingdom was coming now in their current life. They didn't understand that that's not the promise.
Yeah, they expected a Messiah, the king. He's coming back, though, that way.
Yep. I want to read two passages from Luke, and then we're going to continue into Mark chapter 10. But in Luke chapter 9, in verse 44 to 46, it says, let these words sink into your ears. The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men. But they did not understand this statement, and it was hidden from them so that they could not understand it. And they were afraid to ask Jesus about this statement. And then an argument started among them as to which one would be the greatest. Again, now it tells not only did they not understand, but you see, it was hidden from them. You see, only God can open the eyes and ears. You have to seek him with all your heart. They hadn't come to the point yet. And part of it was fulfillment of the promise of God that Christ had to raise from the dead first. And yet people want to be this person, that it's hidden from them. The truth is hidden from them. Why do you want to be that person? That person's not spiritually born again. But people in ignorance say such foolish things. In Luke chapter 18, verse 31 to 34, it says, Jesus took the 12 aside and said to them, behold, we are going to Jerusalem, and all the things that are written in the prophets about the Son of Man will be accomplished. He will be handed over to the Gentiles, will be mocked, mistreated, and spit upon. And after they have scourged him, they will kill him. And on the third day, he will rise again. But it says in verse 34, the disciples did not understand any of these things. For the meaning of these statements was hidden from them, and they did not comprehend the things that were said. You want to be the person that's still in darkness, that cannot see, that does not understand? People don't understand, Kyle, because they, in ignorance, just foolishly jump to something because they do not understand all the full words of God. They have not sat down and in humility asked God to open their eyes that they may see fully the scripture and the truths and be taught of the Spirit of God. So Mark, back to Mark chapter 10. Here in verse 13 to 14, what does he say?
People were bringing little children to him in order that he might touch them, and the disciples spoke sternly to them. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, let the little children come to me, do not stop them, for it is to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs. Truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it. And he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them. That was through verse 16.
So again, you look at the will of the disciples was contrary and against the will of Christ, who was being led by the will of God, his Father. It wasn't the same Spirit. It wasn't the same will. They didn't have the Spirit of God yet.
That's right.
Now people, instead of understanding that point, they focus on, oh no, you see, you have to receive the kingdom of God like a child. So we're supposed to be a child. No, you receive it like a child. You don't doubt. You don't doubt. You have childlike faith. You don't doubt. They had no understanding. They doubted. They couldn't believe in the loaves because of the doubting. You know, I think back when my kids were used to be young and toddlers, if something was done and you have a miracle and they were fed and you're in the same position and you're there again, they're like, well, Dad, just do what you did last time. They expect it. You see it, you expect it. You put faith in it. You don't doubt. They didn't have childlike faith. Even when they saw the miracles and the works, they still could not understand. You know, right after that in Mark chapter 10, a man comes up, runs up to him, kneels before him, says, good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus says in verse 18, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone, referring to his Father. Verse 19, he tells him, well, how do you inherit eternal life? What does he say in verse 19?
You know the commandments, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not sin, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother. He said to him, teacher, I have kept all these since my youth. Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said, you lack one thing. Go, sell what you own and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me.
Now, one of the things is he didn't understand. You know, people think that, oh, I didn't do this, I didn't do that. Well, God looks at the heart. Now, Jesus already taught that earlier, but he didn't know that. He knew that one of the other barriers in the heart is not just being freed, but you can't have a love of the world. Now, this person had a lot of wealth. He goes on to say how hard it is to enter the kingdom of heaven. You know, referring to the how hard it is for those who are wealthy to enter the kingdom of God in verse 23. And the disciples were amazed at his word. And Jesus answered and said, children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God.
It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God.
Now, Jesus told them, look at how hard it is. Then they were even more astonished after the second one about the rich man. Did they say then what rich man can be saved? Or did they say, well, then who of anybody can be saved? Who can be saved? Then how can anyone be saved? They didn't understand because they didn't understand the power of God. And that's why Jesus said, looking at them, what does he say in verse 27?
It says, for man it is impossible, but not for God. For God all things are possible.
That's right. Now, continuing on over to Mark chapter 14. Jesus telling us what's going to happen in advance before it happens. What does he say in Mark chapter 14, verse 27 to 30?
And Jesus said to them, you will all become deserters, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. But after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee. Peter said to him, even though all become deserters, I will not. Jesus said to him, truly, I tell you this day, this very night, before the cock crows twice, you will deny me three times. But he said vehemently, even though I must die with you, I will not deny you. And all of them said the same.
You see, Jesus knew the truth. They didn't have the Spirit of God. They couldn't suffer martyrdom for God. They didn't have the Spirit of God. They didn't have power. Even though their desire was to serve God, even until death, even though that was their desire and their will,
they spoke boastful words.
They didn't have the power of God. They failed. But yet people want to be the people that fail. They say, oh, but Peter denied him three times. Oh, you want to be the person that denies Christ three times that doesn't have the Spirit of God. Now, there's warnings about people. You're born again and you deny Christ. Trustworthy statement. You deny him, he will deny you.
Amen.
That's in 2 Timothy chapter 2. But people say these things in ignorance. I was like, of course he did. And everybody deserted, everybody abandoned, everybody fled.
To their own condemnation.
Nobody endured to the end. Well, they couldn't. They weren't born again.
They didn't have the Spirit there.
They didn't have the Spirit of God. In John chapter 13, verse 36 to 38, I want to go to John and then I'll come right back to Mark. He says, Simon Peter said to him, Lord, where are you going? Jesus answered, where I go, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow later. Peter said to him, Lord, why can I not follow you right now? I will lay down my life for you. Jesus answered, you will lay down your life for me? Will you lay down your life for me? Truly, truly, I say to you, a rooster will not crow until you deny me three times. Now, notice Jesus said, he didn't say you can never follow me. He says, where I go, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow later.
Prophesying Peter's eventual crucifixion.
That's right. And eventually, again, a life of power. That's right. Back to Mark chapter 14. I want to look at verse 37 to 41, if you can read that, please.
He came and found them sleeping, and he said to Peter, Simon, are you asleep? Could you not keep awake 1 hour? Keep awake and pray that you may not come into the time of trial. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And again, he went away and prayed, saying the same words. And once more he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were very heavy, and they did not know what to say to him. He came a third time and said to them, Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? Enough! The hour has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up! Let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand.
So again here, even at the end, Jesus several times rebukes them. He says, what is your problem? What is your problem? What is your problem? Now, in their spirit, their spirit was willing. But they didn't have the Spirit of God. It was their spirit. Their earthly spirit was willing. But the problem is the earthly spirit cannot overcome the weakness of the flesh. Now, in Romans chapter 8, we talked about that the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus that was in Christ does an impossible work.
Amen.
That is what allows us to overcome. What the law of the written law, weak as it was in the flesh, cannot overcome. So people are convicted by the ways of God. They want to do the works, obedient to God. They're convicted by the written law of God, but they can't do it because they're weak in the flesh. But the Spirit of God that Christ came with, even though he came in the flesh, the law, the Spirit of life that was in him made him strong so that he was able to overcome. But yet again, people say, oh, I want to be like the disciples. They compare themselves to the disciples before they were born again. I was like, no, you don't want to have that person. He's weak. He has no power because he doesn't have the Spirit of God. Continuing to move down into Mark chapter 16. Now we're going to talk and look at the examples of after Jesus was raised from the dead. Jesus has been raised from the dead. The very thing he told them that before they didn't understand, he was going to raise from the dead. And it's like, wow, okay, they're going to know now. Well, no, the Holy Spirit has still not yet been poured out. So Mark chapter 16, verse 11 through verse 14.
Okay. But when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they would not believe it. After this, he appeared in another form to two of them as they were walking into the country, and they went back and told the rest, but they did not believe them. Later, he appeared to the 11 themselves as they were sitting at the table, and he upbraided them for their lack of faith and stubbornness, because they had not believed those who saw him after he had risen. And he said to them, Go into all the world and proclaim the good news to the whole creation. The one who believes and is baptized will be saved, but the one who does not believe will be condemned.
Now, it's important, again, people will focus on the believe and not believe. Now, it has to be defined as God defines it. So I'm not going to go into that right now. That's not the purpose. The focus is when they heard that Jesus was alive, he'd been raised from the dead, they refused to believe it. They refuse to believe it. You want to be that person? You want to believe that, be the person who refused to believe that Jesus raised from the dead? Others, they still did not believe. Verse 14, he reproached them for their unbelief, and the hardness of their heart. Verse 14, he reproached them for their unbelief and the hardness of their heart. You see, it's the same thing. They still didn't understand. They still had a lack of faith. They still had a hard heart. That's the old man. But they say, but they longed, they sought to follow after Christ. They wanted to be his disciple. They did healings and miracles. You're right. But until you're free from the power of sin and get a new heart, you are not a son of God. And that's what people don't understand. That's what people don't understand, Kyle. Now, I want to go through and look at some other examples. Let's look at Matthew. Chapter 28, this talks about, again, how he said, I'm going to go ahead of you, go to Galilee, after I've been raised. So Matthew chapter 26, can you read verse 32?
But after I am raised up, I will go ahead of you to Galilee. Peter said to him, though all become deserters because of you, I will never desert you. Jesus said to him, Truly I tell you, this very night, before the cock crows, you will deny me three times. Peter said to him, Even though I must die with you, I will not deny you. And so said all the disciples.
Yeah, so the focus here on this is after he's been raised, he said he was going to go ahead of them to Galilee. Yep. All right, so then in 28, verse 7, yep. Again, he says the same thing. Read that one. Yep.
Then go quickly and tell his disciples, He has been raised from the dead, and indeed he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. This is my message for you. So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them and said, Greetings! And they came to him, took hold of his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me.
So again, and this is all because in Galilee, when he walked with them, and it was, you know, the number of days after, like 40 days or whatever the number of days was, it was in Galilee that then he was taken up on the mountain. He was caught up into heaven. And so he was there with them for a long period of time. And even then, what does it say in verse 16 to verse 17?
Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted.
So even here, they worshipped him, but even then, some were still doubting. They're still doubting. This is before he's taken away up on the mountain. After they had, I think he said it walked and he appeared for like 40 days after his resurrection, they still doubted. Some still doubted. And that's the person that people want to be? It's just they don't have any understanding. They're in darkness and ignorance. In John chapter 20, verse 9, he says, And yet they did not understand the scriptures that he must be raised from the dead. It was just this continual theme. In Luke chapter 24, again, after he rose from the dead, we're going to look at what he says when he was with them and had different encounters. So in chapter 24, if you look, read verse 15 and 16.
While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him.
And so here, Jesus, two of them, they were walking. They were 7 miles from Jerusalem. And Jesus,
on the road to Emmaus.
Yep, and Jesus appeared to them, but their eyes were prevented from recognizing them. Again, it had not been given for their eyes to be open, eyes to see, ears to hear. It was not yet. The Spirit had not been poured out to give them full understanding. And so they didn't understand. I'm trying to get people to see these things. They want to be people that didn't understand. And in ignorance, they make these foolish statements. They want to be weak men. Weak men who seek the Lord but had no power, who had no faith, who still had a hard heart. Why do you want to be that person?
These are the infants, guys.
That's right. The infants are those who don't have the Holy Spirit. And yet people want to justify it. Go listen to the episode on Galatians. Infants don't have the Holy Spirit. We discuss it in Ephesians chapter 4, in the Ephesians episode. They're the ones that are still excluded from the life of God because of the futility in their mind being darkened in their understanding. He says, stop being the infant, being tossed by waves, blown about by wind, by the deception and the trickery of men. Luke chapter 24, next going down to verse 25. Please read verse 25 to verse 31.
Then he said to them, Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory? Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures.
And so here, again, and as they continue, he says, they urged him, saying, Stay with us. It's getting toward evening. The day is now nearly over. So he went and stayed with them. In verse 30, he says, When he had reclined at the table, he took bread, blessed it, broke it, gave it to them. And in verse 31, it says, Then their eyes were opened. They recognized him. And he vanished from their sight. So he continues to rebuke the people. He says, you're foolish. You're slow of heart. These are the things we need to understand. As you continue in chapter 24, verse 36 to 49. Read verse 36 to 49.
While they were talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, Peace be with you. They were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, Why are you frightened, and why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have. And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While in their joy they were disbelieving and still wondering, he said to them, Have you anything here to eat? They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. Then he said to them, These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are my witnesses of these things, and see, I am sending you upon you what my Father promised. So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high.
And so again, we have, why do you doubt in your heart? Why are they terrified? They still had unbelief.
They had not received the power from on high.
They didn't. Now, again, he had to open their minds. Their minds were not open. They didn't understand the scriptures. And people want to be those people.
Infants. The disciples at this stage were still infants.
Now, again, the promise of the Spirit, the promise that would be given, the promise of adoption as sons, it had not been poured out yet.
The deposit.
So he said, you are to stay in the city until you are clothed with power on high. They had no power. They were weak. Why do you want to be the weak person? Why do you want to be the person that has no power? Why do you want to be the person that doesn't have the Spirit of God, that's not a son of God? Only sons of God enter the kingdom of heaven. Only the sons of God can escape the corruption of the world that's through lust. Only the sons of God can be set free from sin and become slaves of righteousness. Only sons of God have the new heart. Now we're going to look at the passages in John that talk about the Holy Spirit had not yet been given to these people. They hadn't received it yet. They hadn't yet received it. They didn't understand. They didn't have faith. You can't receive the Spirit of God without faith. In John chapter 2, what does it say in verse 21 to 25?
But he was speaking of the temple of his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. When he was in Jerusalem during the Passover festival, many believed in his name because they saw the signs that he was doing. But Jesus, on his part, would not entrust himself to them because he knew all the people and needed no one to testify about anyone, for he himself knew what was in everyone.
That's right. He knew what was in the heart. Everyone, until they're born as a son of God, they have wickedness in their heart, a bad heart. But they didn't understand when Jesus said, destroy this temple, I'd raise it up again. They didn't understand that. But again, the Spirit had not yet been given. As we continue, look at John chapter 12, verse 16.
His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written of him and had been done to him.
Yep, and again, that's speaking of the prophecies of Christ, kind of going along with John chapter 2. They didn't understand. But later they did. Now, I'm going to go back to John chapter 7 and verse 37 to verse 39. He says, Now on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood up and cried out, If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who is believing in me, as the scripture says, from his innermost beings will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke of the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, for the Spirit was not yet given because he was not yet glorified. So at this time, again, as part of God's plan, and to fulfill the prophecy of Christ, the Spirit was being withheld for them to receive until it happened at the appointed time. So before, again, it continued to be given. People had the Spirit. They were receiving new hearts. When Christ came, there was a period that happened where for them, it was to be waited. Now, notice here, he tells them now. He stands up. He says, if anyone is thirsty, come to me and drink. He actually gives. It's an imperative command. It's an imperative command in the mood in the Greek. It's a command. He was commanding people in the present tense now to come to me and drink. And he says, from the innermost being will flow rivers of living water. Now that's referring to the Holy Spirit. But in verse 39, he says he spoke of this, of the Spirit whom those who were believing in him were to receive later. So do you see how he's speaking in the present tense? Not just that, but a command? But they couldn't receive the Spirit yet. Because for these people at this time, they had to wait till after Pentecost. But this is what I try to tell people. A command will be given as if they already have it or you receive it immediately. But for these people, that wasn't the case because of God's plan. That's why I say you have to read Scripture very carefully, because they didn't understand verse 39. It doesn't say he told verse 39. He only spoke verse 37 and verse 38. But if you read all the context in the Scripture you've been reading, it's very clear. That's why you can't just pick and pluck a verse. You need to understand.
Be careful of those people that pick and pluck.
John 14, 15, again, talking about the Spirit.
If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, because he abides with you, and he will be in you.
Yep, I was on the wrong page. I was like, okay, yes. So, another helper. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. I will ask the Father. He will give you another helper. He'll be with you forever. Now, again, we know that the Spirit was not poured out yet. But as he continues to say, he says what the result, what happens with all this. You see, he says in verse 20, in that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. In that day, in the day when the Spirit's poured out, hasn't been poured out yet. But when it is, exactly, unity. People don't understand when Jesus said, I am one with the Father. Now, we covered that, I think, in the Gospel of Acts. Yeah. Gospel of Acts, we covered this about Christ and what all these statements mean.
Yeah, the Gospel in Acts is the title on it.
So here he says, I know, in that day you'll know that I'm in the Father, you are me, and I am in you. He who is having my commandments and keeping them is the one who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him, and I will disclose myself to him. Again, this is all of the fulfillment of the prophecy with the Spirit and how we live. It hadn't been poured out yet. In verse 23, again, Judas Iscariot didn't understand. He says, what do you mean? Lord, what has happened that you're going to disclose yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus said in verse 23, if anyone is loving me, and he will keep my word. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. So Jesus goes through, he says all this, and in the end, in verse 29, he says, I've told you these things before it happens, so that when it happens, you might believe.
They hadn't believed yet.
I know.
They hadn't the power.
Now, there are passages earlier that say people believe, but you have to understand all this stuff about prophecy, foreknowledge, future statements, those who believe but weren't believing in truth. But people who don't understand these things, they just latch onto a single verse and draw doctrine with ignorance and lack of understanding. So I'm just pointing out these things of why you have to be so careful when you read, and you have to read and understand the entire book. Now, John chapter 15, over to verse 26. What does he say in verse 26 through chapter 16, verse 26 and 27?
When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who comes from the Father, he will testify on my behalf. You also are to testify because you have been with me from the beginning.
Now again, they couldn't testify until they received power on high and their minds were open. Until then, they couldn't testify. Right now, they didn't know. But it's the Helper. Now, he sends. Jesus sent, but it comes from the Father. It's the Spirit of truth. It comes from the Father. It hadn't been poured out yet. And this, a lot of times, people don't understand. Now, in John chapter 16, verse 7, what does he say again?
Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will prove the world wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment about sin. Because they do not believe in me about righteousness, because I am going to the Father, and you will see me no longer about judgment, because the ruler of this world has been condemned. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you.
Amen. So hopefully people see the obviousness of all this. Last, I think I want to finish off in Acts. So let's go and look at Acts chapter 1. And can you please read verse 4 and 5?
While staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. This, he said, is what you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now.
There you go. Again, this promise, the Spirit, they hadn't received it yet. And, you know, he continues to say, and he says in verse 8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest parts of the earth. You see, they couldn't do that yet. They hadn't been born again. They lacked the full understanding, the power of God. And again, in Acts chapter 2, verse 33.
Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you both see and hear. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Therefore, let the entire house of Israel know with certainty that God has made him both Lord and Messiah, this Jesus whom you crucified.
So, Father, we thank you for your word. Father, I pray that after listening today, people would be convicted in their heart by your Spirit, O God. We do not want to be the man of weakness. We do not want to be the old man. We do not want to be the infant. We do not want to be like the disciples who still had a hard heart, who didn't have understanding, who had eyes that did not see, ears that could not hear, who continued to have a doubting faith. Father, I pray that that stronghold, that lie, that deception has been torn down today. And I pray that people will know there is such a greater truth that they must dig deep into your word and appeal to you, O God, to give them new eyes. Father, that you will flush from their mind all these lies and deceptions, that they will find truth and see it, and that you will bring them to the power of God, to be adopted as a son of God, to be born again, baptized into the Spirit, baptized with Christ. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
We hope this weekly program helped rekindle your zeal to know, love, and serve Christ day by day. If you enjoyed the program, consider subscribing and sharing with your friends. Thanks for listening.